Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Pei Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 12 lines from the top of Daf Pei Tes. We continue with the topic of Koil. Koil, roughly translated, could be a rumor or murmurings. The source that we are about to start with deals with, as its first example, the case of the laws pertaining to a Kohen Gadol. It's just one word. A Kohen Gadol is required to marry a virgin woman. Our source speaks about a woman concerning whom a rumor was issued that she is a non-virgin. Be'ula, ein choshishin la. That means that if regarding a woman that we knew till now was a besula, was a virgin, and there's word out that she is in fact not so, we don't regard that rumor. We would not prohibit her from marrying a Kohen Gadol. Rashi explains what might have taken place is that they saw this woman participating in immodest behavior, but not actual intimacy. And since they saw her behaving immodestly, or the victim of what's referred to as sexual harassment, that led people to conclude that she was actually victimized by intimacy. But that's it. That's all what led people to say that she's a ba'ula. We, on a halachic level, do not prevent her from subsequently marrying a Kohen Gadol. A woman that we knew to be a single woman, a pnuya, word went out that she's married. That's what the source says, nisua. Ein choshishin la. Rashi adds a very important point. The rumor stated that this woman has been married, and we don't know her to have been married. That type of rumor, where Rashi uses the word nesua ze yomim, that she has been married. We're emphasizing that now in order to contrast this with what we'll see later on. So a rumor of that nature, where she has been described as having been married, is not a type of rumor that we reckon with. And she, in our halachic opinion, remains as with the status of being single. Arusa, ein choshishin la. If a rumor was spread that she has been betrothed a while ago, we do not reckon with that. We don't regard that rumor, and if she wants to marry someone, she can go right ahead and do so. Shaloi Luploni, word went out that she is married, that she was, let's say, betrothed, but the name of the man wasn't mentioned in the rumor. So that even though, in this case, they said she got married, Mikudeshes is the first stage of marriage, she got married today. Now here you notice the change. Up till now we've spoken about she has been married. That type of past tense rumor, been married means the rumor that we mentioned before that she is married as having become married a while ago. That's in contrast to this particular case where the rumor says she is married as of today. That makes it a more serious type of rumor. However, the lacking here is that the man's name, the husband's name, was not mentioned. And therefore, it's insufficient to constitute a koil that we would be choshesh for, that we would recognize. We continue. Be'ir acheres. Word went out that she is getting, that she got married today in a certain town, but not here. Ein choshishin law. So that even though we have the element of today, the current element, which would ordinarily make a rumor significant in the halachic realm, nevertheless, what's lacking here is that reference is made to her, her being married today, but in another town. Mamzeres ein choshishin law. Word went out concerning a woman that she is illegitimate. We don't reckon with that. Shivcha, or word went out that she is a bondmaid. These kind of people, mamzerim, mamshivchos, are not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. But these are mere rumors, and we don't recognize them as being substantive. And therefore, if this woman wants to marry a fine Jewish fellow, no problem, whether it's the rumor of mamzeris or shivcha. Hikdish ploni nechosov, hifkir ploni nechosov. If word went out that so-and-so sanctified his properties, we don't reckon with that rumor, meaning we won't prohibit the man from continuing to benefit from his properties. Namely, we don't regard them as sanctified. And likewise, if word went out that so-and-so declared his property unowned, that's not a rumor that we will regard, and therefore the public would not be allowed to take possession of his property. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a marking scheme. A double underline appears. If you skim down the page, you'll see a number of these, and there's the use of a diamond also, and there's a numbering scheme as well. You can see we've numbered three diamonds, 1 through 3. And on the side under the Nosei / Mivne heading, we've indicated this is a sidra, a series, Shel Amoroyim, Shemagdirin Mahu Koil Shechosh Shemla. They define what is that kind of koil rumor that we would regard. Klomar She'eno Koil Havora Be'amo. It's not viewed as simple, simple public chatter. The word havora is a word that in other contexts would mean an echo. Here I'm paraphrasing or giving a loose approximation of what that would mean as a public, mere public chatter, as opposed to a serious type rumor that we would regard. So that is the theme of the balance of the Gemara till the end of the narrow lines. Let's continue now in the text. Omar Ula, lo sheshamu koil havora. Not, in other words, what is a koil? What is a koil that we would regard? So he says in the negative, not that we hear some mere, say, background noise, koil havora, as we said before, some echoing or, as I said, some idle chatter. Ela, Kedei shiuneros dolkos. In order for the rumor to have substance, you have to have circumstantial evidence as well. Kedei shiuneros dolkos umitos mitzos, candles burning, as you would have in a case of a party, and beds which were used for, people would recline on beds while they eat, while they feast. So the beds are made up. Bnei Adam nichnasim v'yotzim. People are going in and going out of that house. V'yomrim, and then with all of that background, they are saying plainis miskadeshes hayom. So and so is going to get married today. The Gemara asks miskadeshes. Is that reason for establishing her as having a marital status? V'dilma lo akdisho. Maybe it won't go through. Who says just because they're saying someone will get married? Amal, rather, you should say, what would have to be said is ploni niskatsho hayom, that so-and-so got married today. So if you have all of that background, then that woman who was the subject of the rumor, we would say she cannot marry someone else. The Gemara continues, V'chein Tani Levi. Levi was the author of Tanaic sources, we call Brises. And in his Tanaic source, he states that which Ula taught. Lo she yishmu koil havara, elo kadeshu neiros dolkos, umitois mutsos, v'noshim tovois lo haner. That's a reference to women that spin by the candle fire, usmechois lo, and they're all happy, v'omros, and they say, ploinus, and notice we're going to skip the bracketed section, ploinus niskatsho hayom, and they're saying so-and-so got married today. Within the brackets, we have the same issue that we raised before about an inaccurate expression, so let's read it together. Plonis miskadeshes hayom. The rumor would be that so-and-so is getting married today. Miskadeshes. The Dilma lo akdisha. Just because you're saying she will be getting married, maybe it didn't go through. Elo emo plonis miskadesho hayom. In order for the rumor to have significance, they would have to say that so-and-so got married in the past tense, but today. And notice, we emphasize the word today as opposed to what we indicated before in the previous. We saw a Tanaic source with which we opened our shiur and a number of examples, courtesy of Rashi, that we were saying that the rumor is not a rumor because it was in a reference to something in the past that had taken place. And that is not sufficient to create a rumor that we would have to regard halachically. And when we speak about regarding a rumor halachically, we're saying that we will assume the rumor to be true with all of its ramifications. But you have to have these elements present in order to give substance to the rumor. We continue. Omar Rabo Barachana Om Rav Yochanan Lo Shishamu Kol Havora. That's the same opening expression that we saw in number one, and we'll see it again in number three. Not a kol that we regard is not one where we simply heard idle chatter. Elokadeshu neros dokos, and you see the similar expression that we saw before in Ula and in the source. Kadeshu neros dolkos umitos mitzos b'nei adam nichnasim v'yotzim. Omru davar zehu kol. Lo omru davar zehu amasla. So omru davar would mean they said so and so got married today. That's a koil if you have the other elements as well. Now lo omru davar. Here we're just going to translate. The Gemara is going to ask that this doesn't make sense, but if nothing was said, zehu amasla. Hamasla is that which weakens or undoes a koil. Lo omru, v'ha lo omru v'lo klum. How can you say that their silence is the undoing of a rumor? Nothing was said in the first place. So what do you mean if they said nothing, that is, that's the amasla, that's the undoing of a koil, but nothing was said? So what does Rabo Bar Bachana mean when he says, what does he mean by this lo omru zehu amasla? So the more answers. La fuke mida Rabo Bar Rav Huna. Now these names are very similar, so they're both named Rabo, but to just emphasize, this is Rabo Bar Rav Huna, who said something other than that which Rabo Bar Bachana teaches. The Omar. Rabo Bar Rav Huna holds Amasla Shomru, the information that we would regard as the weakening of the rumor, Afilu Mikan Varasor Yomim, even if it's stated 10 days after the initial rumor was stated. In other words, the Amasla, we'll say the weakening element, and we'll give examples of that as we go on in the Shir, but statements that would weaken the rumor, as far as Rabo Bar Bachana is concerned, they would have validity only if they come forth with the koil simultaneously. Rabo Bar Rav Huna says otherwise. He says even 10 days later, Komash Malon Lo Omru Hu Dehavi Amasla. Now that means that Rabo Bar Bachana is telling us that if there wasn't a an established, reliable kul stated, but rather when the kul, when the rumor was stated, it was stated together with that which would undo it, zeh, that hu dehavi amasla, that is an amasla, that would be the weakening of the kul. So the expression lo umru is a very terse expression. Lo umru means they didn't say an established kul, but rather they said a rumor that had an element of weakness built into it. Ha amru, however, had the initial kul been stated in an unqualified fashion, in a strong fashion, lo havio amasla, then an amasla stated sometime later would not be sufficient to weaken the kul. Just to throw out a quick example of what an amasla would be, I failed to mention that we already saw in the Mishnah what an amasla is. The Mishnah itself said, "Ezuhi amasla." The Mishnah on the lower part of Pei Ches Amid Beis, it said that there was a rumor that Giresh Ish Ploni as Ishto, but Al Tnai, it was conditional. Or for example, someone married so-and-so, but it was through throwing the Kiddushin, and we don't know if it actually reached her or not. So that's a rumor that, as it's coming out, it already has a weakness built into it. So according to Rabbah Bar Bar Chana, if as soon as the rumor emerges, it emerges with that weakened element to it, with information that shows us it's not a sure comment, then it's considered a non-kul. But if initially the rumor was that so-and-so got married today, and we had all the other surrounding evidence or elements like the candles burning and the people going in and out of the house as you would in a festive venue, and then only a week and a half later someone says, well, that marriage was through a kiddushin, money or money equivalent thrown to her, and we don't know if it was closer or closer to him, that would not weaken the initial rumor, according to Rabbah Bar Bar Chana. And Rabbah Bar Rav Huna disagrees. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Abba Omar Rav Huna. Omar Rav. You'll notice we have a new marking here, a triangle, and under the Mivne heading, we indicate that there are two Lishonos B'divrei Rav. Two versions of Rav. Lo Shishamu Kol Havara Alakadei Shiyomru Ploni Mehechon Shoma. Superficial rumor is not going to establish her status of, let's say, of being considered married, unless you have, along with the rumor, the ability to ask the following questions and get answers. So when you hear the rumor, you would be able to say, where did you hear that from? Ploni Mehechon Shoma. Mi Ploni. And they would answer, well, I heard it from so-and-so. And you would ask, Uploni, or he would tell you, Uploni, Mi Ploni. And the person from whom I heard that she got married today heard it from someone else. Uboikin Vahilchin, and we go and investigate. Ah, Shemagim L'Dover HaBoror, until we get to something very clear, to clear, solid information. The one says, well, Dover HaBoror, Edus Malyasahu. If you get to a clear, solid information that she got married today, that's testimony. That's not a rumor. Elo, ki also Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav. And we go over, now here's the second version of Rav. Lo sheshamu kol havora. Not that they heard mere idle chatter. Elo kadei sheyomru. Ploni mehechon shoma. Mi ploni. Uploni, mi ploni. Vaholchu lohem liyaseyam. And when you investigate where the rumor came from, you'll get to some names of people who told us the information, but they are not around. They went overseas. So if you can pursue the rumor and get to, let's say, names of people who told the initial information, you can see that's stronger than mere public chatter, where you can't get to the source. In this case, you get very close to the source, but you can't investigate it because they went limedinas hayam, they went overseas. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. And on the side, we have as the topic heading the nosei, e mevatlim kol. Do we cancel a rumor? What is meant by mevatlim kol? Rashi has two pshatim, two explanations. We're going to go with the second pshat in Rashi. If you notice, we have a star right across from here in the Rashi, Inami. Rashi says, Chozru oison ploni ploni b'yosayam. You know, those people that were credited with being the source of the rumor that we said it before had gone overseas, well, they came back. Fiyomru, and they said, Lo hayu dvor me'olam. We never said that. We never said that she got married on that day. Mevatlinon alo mevatlinon. With that, will we cancel the koil? And by canceling koil, it would mean that, well, she's not then considered married at all. And if she wants to marry someone else, she can go right ahead and do so. Or, no, we have to say the initial rumor took root, even though we're getting this, say, contradictory information in now. That's not enough to mevatel the koil. And, by the way, if what would the woman do? So if we're going to regard the koil as being serious, and part of the koil would have had to be identification of the man to whom she married, as we saw in the Gemara before, if she wants to marry someone else, she would have to get a divorce from the individual, the subject of the koil. So now we turn to the Gemara, bearing in mind what the circumstances are that would lead to this question. Amalei Abaye, the Rav Yosef, mevatlinan kola o lo mevatlinan. Would we mevatel the koil? As Rashi said, if the ploni of ploni that had originally been reported as having gone abroad came back and said, well, we never said that. O lo mevatlinan, or will keep the koil, the rumor, and her married status as according to the koil in place. Omar Lay, so Rav Yosef responds. Mida Omar Rav Chista, from the fact that Rav Chista said, Ad Shishmu Mipi Haksherim. Rashi says, Mipi Haksherim, that a koil is not a koil until you hear Mipi Haksherim, Shiyomru Miploni Shoman Vuolach Minasayam. People of repute, people that are acceptable to, that we would rely on, would have to have told us that so-and-so, we heard the rumor from so-and-so and he went abroad. Alma, so from Rav Chista's approach, that says, like, listen, we're not going to take a koil seriously until you meet this high standard. So Alma, Akilu Rabbona ben Mosi. You see, the Rabbon took a very lenient approach to rumors. Ushmami no di'i ba'dikne boser hachi v'shtakach shikra. And from this, we would conclude that if we find out later on that what was initially reported was a lie, namely that so-and-so who had supposedly told us about the rumor never said so, we will cancel the koil, the rumor, machrizin de lav kolahu, and announce it's not a koil, uman savinon la, and enable her to get married to whomever she wants. Let's continue in the Gemara. So, as from the fact that Chisa said that a koil is not a koil, ad shish mipi aksherim, shma mino mevatlim and kolo. From here, we conclude that we would not hesitate upon hearing that the original information was inaccurate. We will mevatel the koil. Omar le, Abaye says back, adarabo, to the contrary, mida omar rav sheshes, afilu mipi noshim have a koil. Rav sheshes took the approach that a rumor is a rumor, even if you hear it from women. Women are those that ordinarily would not be accepted as saying testimony. So even if you hear from them, lo mivatlinon kola. From the fact that Rosh Hashanah took a rather serious attitude toward koil. In other words, we will regard the koil, even even if the source of the koil is a, we'll say, a low standard, from, so we see that we're not going to be so quick to mevatel it, we won't cancel a rumor. The Tosfos has an interesting commentary here. From the fact the Gemara here presents Rav Sheshes as saying that a rumor is a rumor, even if you hear it from women, leaving you to think that hearing the rumor from women is something that would not be so reliable. So Tosfos says, second to last Tosfos, Ach Yishmu Bibi Aksherim. Tosfos makes his comment on the first opinion, on Rav Yosef, who says that a koil is not a koil until you hear it from, we'll say, a high standard, maybe aksherim. So Tosfos says, Afal gav diomer li'el v'noshim oimros plonis niskacha. Yet we saw that a koil is a koil if women say so and so got married. How would Rav Yosef deal with that? So Tosfos says, Shemo mishum dahosam iko raglayim ledover. It could be over there. It's not just that you're hearing it from the women, but there was also circumstantial evidence to support, to sustain the rumor. Tosfos has ve'is forum de garsi. Another version is not women, but rather uvnei odom nichnosim v'yoytzim v'lo garsinon v'noshim. And according to this approach, the reference to noshim wasn't there to begin with. We turn back to the Gemara. From Abaye's standpoint, he regards Rav Sheshes' approach that says that a koil can be established even through Noshim. Shema mino lo mevatlin un kolo. So we see that we would not be so quick to mevatel a koil. Amalei, Rav Yosef responds, Asrivosa ninhu. This issue of being mevatel a koil is dependent on local practice. Besura mevatli kola benardo lo mevatli kola. In the Sura community, they would mevatel koil. In Nahardo, they would not mevatel a koil. We have bow ties that appear one of our series markings, and under the structural note, the mivneh, we indicate on the side these are mikrim she orlo hashela im lachshosh lekoil. Stories in cases where the issue came up, should we regard the rumor? The Gemara. Hahi denofak ala kola diktisha labar be rav. There was a rumor concerning a woman that she became married to a yeshiva student. Asya ravchamo lavua. Omar le emoli hechi ave uvda. So Rav Chama approached the father and asked the father, can you tell me what happened? Omar le. So the father said, Al Tanai Kodesh. The marriage that was the subject of the rumor, and I want to emphasize, when the rumor went out, it was a rumor that was in an unqualified fashion. In other words, rumor that she married a certain yeshiva student. Rav Chama, investigating this, reaches the father and said, yeah, the marriage, there was a marriage, but it was a marriage on Tanai, with a stipulation built in. Adaita de lo ozil le bei chozoi, on condition that he would not go to bei chozoi v'ozal. And the young man, the fellow, went to bei chozoi. In other words, he violated the condition, and that would then undo the marriage. So, according to what the father is saying, the girl is not married. Omar le, kevon de beidno de havoi kola lo havoi amaslo. So the Rav Chama said, since when the initial kol came forth, there wasn't this weakening of it, amaslo, right? You could see, like we said earlier, that the information that was established, that was the, let's say, subject of the rumor that established her new status, when it initially came out, was not accompanied by this weakening element. Lav kol kaminoch de machzikis amaslo. You don't have the power to establish the amaslo, to establish the the koil as being weakened, but rather she remains with the status of being considered married to that bar bay rav. If she wants to marry someone else, so she would have to get a divorce from that bar bay rav. Hahi denofak alo kola deiktisha beatzifa detoichla be'ino debei shifi. Was a rumor that a woman was married through being offered not cash, not a ring, but rather atzifa detoichla. Rashi, atzifa detoichla hein tmorim shelo bishlu kol tzorcham. These are dates, they're not worth very much. They're dates that have not fully ripened. The way people deal with those kind of dates, they put them in vessels that are made from palm leaves, and they ripen a little bit more while in these palm baskets. When you eat these kind of dates, there is a date flesh that sticks to the date pit. Doesn't separate easily, smoothly. Why? It's not fully ripened. And that is called tzifa. So, as it says in Maseches Chulin. So, the marriage was based on the man offering her this kind of food. And the location where the marriage was reported to have taken place was Eino de Bei Shifi. Eino is a well or a spring, the spring of Bei Shifi. Shocho Rav Ili Barovin Lekamei Dabai Ki Haigav Nomai. How do we deal with this kind of koil? Omar Le, so Abaye says, Afilu Leman Domar Lo Mifatnin on Kola. Even according to the approach we saw above, that we do not cancel rumors, Baha Mivatlin on Kola. In this case, we will cancel the rumor. Meimar Amri. Now, by canceling the rumor, we're saying that, okay, there was a rumor that she got married, but we're not going to view her as married. We're going to allow her to marry someone else if she wants. Why? People will figure, if they, upon hearing this story, Meimar Amri, people will say, Ainu Behu Rabbanan Bikidusheya. The rabbis checked out the initial marriage, the value of that which was given to her, the Lohava Bushava Bruta. It didn't have the minimum value that is required to establish a marriage. Let's take a look at the Rashi, second line from the bottom. Meimar Amri, kishetaniseis liachir, when she marries someone else, lo yomru ru'eshes ishaniseis. People aren't going to say, hey, look at this, she's a married woman getting married to someone else. The Meimar Amri, people will figure, ainu rabona ba'u atzifa, for lo havu be shove pruta. The stame lo choshev. People looked into the value of the date flesh that stuck to the pits, and they came to the conclusion that didn't have even a shove pruta. It wasn't worth the minimum amount required to establish a marriage. Deha delo mifatlin and kola, eino elo mitnei hachashad. V'ha choleko hachashad. Very important principle we see here. The explanation of the approach that we don't cancel rumors is because of the suspicion or the fear of what people might say. As we just said, imagine there's a rumor that so-and-so is married, and then that woman would go and marry someone else. People would say, hey, look at that, a married woman is getting married to someone else. But in a case where that chashad, that suspicion wouldn't get started, so we can say, we're mevatel the koil, and we emphasize, even according to the opinion, that ordinarily is not mevatel the koil. And just to repeat ourselves, why does that opinion hold we're not mevatel the koil? Because of the chashad, because of the suspicion that we just mentioned. We continue in the Gemara. Hahi the nafak alo kala the iktisha. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Lechad mi bnei planyo. Rumor went out concerning a specific woman that she got married to one of so and so's household. It was a family with a number of boys in it, a number of men, and rumor went out that she married one of them. They didn't say which one. Even according to the opinion that says we would not mevatel koil, here we will mevatel the koil. May Mar Amri, and as we said before, if we see this woman who was the subject of the rumor of having married one of the boys in that household, and we see her getting married to someone else, you know what the public is going to say? May Mar Amri, people will figure, Aynu Rabbona, the Kedushe, people will say that the rabbis checked out the initial marriage that was the subject of the rumor. The Kiddushi Kotenhavu, and the boy in that household that she supposedly had married was a minor, and a minor is not capable of establishing a marriage. So that her initial marriage, which was the subject of the rumor, wasn't a marriage to begin with. So when the public sees her getting married to someone else, they're not going to say, "Oh, look at this! A married woman is marrying someone else." Rather, she's a woman that initially had never been married. Ah, the rumor? Yeah, she accepted a gift from a young boy in that particular family, which of course is a non-marriage. Hahi denofak alo kola de iktisha lekotan hanira kigodol. There was a rumor that so-and-so got married to a young boy, but he was physically appearing as an adult. Omar Le Rav Mordechai Ravashi Havi Uvda. There was an actual incident like this. The Omru, and they said Adayin Lohigia Lepalgus Ruvain. In other words, he is still that boy was still a minor. Shenemar, the use of this expression of Lepalgus Ruvain, based on the pasuk which says Leflagus Ruvain. Gedolim chikrei lev. There's a Rashi on the top line. Lekotan bishonim. He was a minor in terms of age, under 13. Shenira gufo kegodol v'hoyu makirimbo. But he had a large body, meaning an adult-looking body. Adayin lo yigil flagis ruvein. Klomar ein chochma v'chikrei lev lekotan bishonim. A person who might be physically mature but chronologically is still a minor does not have wisdom and analytical abilities. Kidichtiv, as the Pasuk says in Shoftim Perakei, the Pasuk that we read in the Gemara, and we infer from it, G'dolim hu de'islu chikrei lev, only once you reach chronologically 13 can we say you have the ability of chikrei lev, of an analytical abilities, v'zeaf al pisha gufo aruch, and this one in the subject of the rumor, even though he had a long body, he was large, nikur hu lebrius b'maisav shukot b'shonim, the surroundings, the people recognized through his behavior that he was still a child, ukshetinsiv liacher, and when she would marry someone else, May Mar Amri, people will figure, ainu rabbonin b'kedushe v'kot b'shonim, who people checked out the initial marriage and discovered that the boy was still a minor. We turn to the Gemara. Ubavat shelo tehe shama mas, in order for a koil to be regarded as a halachically important rumor, there would have to be no amasla, no weakening or undoing of it when it came forth. Now, by saying when it came forth, we're of course being prejudicial, because that very point is a machlokas. Omar Rabo Baravuna Amasla Shomru Afilu Mikan Viada Soryomim. This we saw quoted on Omid Aleph. We have a little star where you can see where we saw it before. Rav Bravun is of the opinion that Amasla will be regarded even if it comes out 10 days after the initial rumor. On the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei, the topic heading, we have we noted the Machlokis, Rav Zvid, and Rav Popo. Haim Amasla Rak Mashnemer Behedya is an Amasla only that which is said clearly. O Maspik, when it means something said clearly, means something said explicitly. Information that is stated verbally, explicitly. Oy Maspik Sheyesh Mokom Upesach Lilmoid Shama Masla. Or the rumor is such that upon hearing it, there's room to insert, to interpret Amasla type information. We'll see more examples of that as we go on in the Gemara. We have a structural note, the Mivneh, triangles that it will appear in two directions, with the point facing up, Deos Uchuvos Letzad Oimer Shemaspik Shei Mokom LaMasla. It's enough that there's room to insert Amasla type information. Amasla means information that would weaken the original rumor. The inverted triangle represents Deus Uchuvos Letzad Debo Inon Amasla Behedya. Unless the information is stated outright, it's not going to be viewed as the rumor will not be viewed as such as an Amasla type rumor just because you could insert information. I know it sounds a little abstract, but as we go in through the Gemara, hopefully it will become clearer. Rav Zvid Omar. Bemokim Amasla. Mok means hearing a rumor that there is room to insert an Amasla. Choshishin L'Amasla. So that even though there isn't the marriage rumor that the woman got married today was stated simply as that without the Amasla, the added information that there was a doubt whether the Kiddushin landed closer to her or closer to him, but there is room to explain or to weaken the rumor. We will, Chosh Amasla means we will regard that as an Amasla. Let's take a look at Rashi. On the third narrow line, the Mokom Amasla, Chosh Amasla, Afilu Ein Amasla, even if there isn't a specific or explicit Amasla, Ela Mokom Pesach Yesh L'Dover, Shenu Halumo Shem Amasla, Chosh Shem Shem Amasla, Plonis Yesh L'Dover, Vakol Botel. And that will result in the curl, the rumor being voided. We continue. Eisve Rav Popo le Rav Zvid. Rav Popo asks, well, but the Mishnah didn't say that it's enough if there's simply room to insert an Amasla. The Mishnah said, Uvad Shalote Shom Amasla. A rumor is a rumor only if there isn't an explicit Amasla. What do we see from that? That only if the Amasla is explicit would it be considered an Amasla. Amalei, Rav Zvid responds and says, what the Mishnah means is, B'mokim Amasla Komar. Namely that it's a rumor and it will be regarded with severity provided there was no room to insert an Amasla. Amalei, Rav Kahana, L'Rav Popo. Fiat loy tisbara, and you don't agree with Rav Zvid. You don't agree that you can rely on the undoing of the curl, even if it wasn't, even if the Amasla was not stated explicitly. V'atnan, we have a Tanaic source that speaks about a woman that was married, and Niskatsha, she accepted marriage from a second man, the achakach bo bailo muteres lachzor, and the original husband comes back, she can go back to the original husband. Well, what was going on over here? Lav mishum d'amrinon, isn't it because people say al tnai kodesh? The marriage to the second man was a marriage that was conditional, namely that I'm marrying you on condition that your first husband doesn't show up. In other words, that he's really gone and dead. But if he shows up, so then this marriage is not a marriage, not a marriage at all. And being that she was never married to the second man, she's allowed to go back to the first husband. A woman who, let us say, was divorced by her first husband, marries a second husband, she's not allowed to go back to the first husband. That's called Machzir Grushoso Mishanises. But in this case, we don't have that. Why? Because people will say, without having heard this explicitly, people will say that the second marriage was one on condition, and the condition was not met because the first husband came back, so she was never married to the second husband. The Gemara says, no, Shiny Hossam, that case is different. That's not a function of reading into what happened, but rather the Osibal the Komarer, the husband himself came back and challenged and was Ma'arer explicitly. The Gemara that we're learning right now is a little, in my opinion, a bit terse and actually a bit vague. Rashi fills in a great deal of information. We're going to read a few more lines of Gemara and then go over the entire Gemara with the Rashi. So the Rav Kahana challenges. He says, "Ihachi, if it's the return of the husband that makes the difference, then why in the source does it say only she was niskacha? It's the first stage of marriage to that second man. Even Ihachi niseis nami, even if she consummated the marriage with the second man, she should be allowed to go back to the husband." So he says, no, niseis, the avda isura, kansur abonin. In the case of niseis, where she consummated the marriage with the second husband, that's a reference to her having had intimacy with the second man when her first husband, turns out, was still alive. So there she did an actual sin. And therefore, the rabbonin, kansur abonin, the rabbonin impose a rabbinic fine upon her, a rabbinic restriction upon her, that she's not allowed to go back to her first husband, even though on a Torah level her marriage to the second husband was done under onus circumstances beyond her control. Nevertheless, since she had intimacy with the second man, she is not allowed to go back to the first husband. Niskatsha, the law of the Isura, in the case where her marriage to the second husband reached only the first stage, the Kiddushin stage, there was no consummation as of yet. Lo kansu rabbonin. The rabbonin did not restrict her from going back to the first husband. So we had a discussion, which I would say we didn't explain very much yet. The final stage, if you follow the markings, you see the inverted triangle where the position of an amasla needing to be something explicit remains intact. So we have a machlokas all the same between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. Do we view an amasla as something that's stated explicitly only, or even if there's room for us to interpret, to insert an amasla, that too would undo the coil? Now we look at the Rashi. The Rashi that we're going to start with, and as we go through the Rashi, we're going to be learning the Rashi from here till pretty much the end of the narrow lines. Amar Le Rav Kana Rav Papa, Rav Kana, who was taking the position of Rav Zvid, says to Rav Papa, "Ve'at lo tizbra, do you not agree? Di im yesh pesach limtso az maslo, that even if there's an opening to insert, to interpret an amasla, a information that would weaken the rumor to samchinon, would we not rely on that uman savinon law and allow her to marry someone else if she should want? V'hatnan isha shalach bayil mishayam, a woman whose husband went abroad. And a single witness comes and says, you know, your husband is dead. And now, here you have the Rashi mentioning that which was quoted in the Gemara. The Gemara did not give us the background, and that's why we're learning the Rashi. The woman who married the second man, it is this woman whose husband had gone abroad, heard from a single witness that he's dead. Then she accepted money or money equivalent from a second man in agreeing to marry him, and then the husband came back. Muteris lachzur l'rishon, she's allowed to go back to her first husband. V'ilu gabi niseis kotani hasam, if that same woman not only reached the first stage of marriage with the second man but consummated a marriage with the second man, it says there, Teisei Mizeo Mizeh, she must leave the second man, and she's not allowed to return to her first husband. V'yafa gavda nusahi, even though she didn't do this willingly, it's not something she willingly violated the law. Sharei Beisin Aruali Nosei, the court gave her permission to marry a second man initially, when hearing from the single witness that he's dead. So why is it, even though she's anusa, even though it's oines, why is she not allowed to go back to the first husband? Mishum chashosha. There's room for worry. Room for concern. Delo lemru, that people, if we would have allowed her to go back to the first husband, people will say, Giresh Rishon Venosa Sheni. You know, the first husband divorced her. She then went and consummated a marriage with a second man. Ve'asho v'choizeres lo mishanises. And lo and behold, she's going back to the first husband after she consummated her marriage with a second man. And as we mentioned earlier, it's forbidden to do that. Aval, Gabi Niskatsha, lo chayshina lachi. In the case where her contact with the second man was only kiddushin, was the first stage of the marriage prior to consummation, my taimo chizeres l'rishon v'lo tzricho get misheni. Why is it that we allow her to go back to the first husband and don't even require a get from the second man? Hare ein l'cha yotza shmo bir mikudeshes gedol mizu. Behold, this is the ultimate in, let's say, in rumor. Here, it's well known that she married the second man. Devada yadu kulam shiniskatsha, and yet we say that she's allowed to go back to the first husband, and no get is required from the second husband. Ah, what about the koil factor? Here we have this is even more than a koil, and yet we allow her to go back to the first husband. Why? Love mishum diyesh kan mokoy mamasa lismachalov, and this is the key point. This is the point that Rav Kahana is trying to make to Rav Papa. The allowance, the heter of the woman to go back to her first husband, because we are inserting a masla type information. The chi mahadri lo legavra, when we return her to her first husband, Amri, people will figure, vada yesh pesach ledovar shal tnai kitshel sheni. Oh, it's certainly because the second marriage, and this is again what people will be saying, but in the second marriage, she was married with a stipulation on condition, namely, she'im yavo baila girsha, that had divorced her, mi medinas hayam, if he comes back from abroad, shiu kiddusha v'telin, that the second man's kiddushin should be void. Why? She'im baila chaviv la, the husband who had divorced her, and this is all, of course, in the mind of the public. The man who had divorced her was actually fond of her. The only reason he divorced her, he was afraid he wasn't going to ever come back. So he wanted to make sure his wife would be free to remarry. Alma, what do we see from this entire story? This amasla, this idea that she was married by the second man on condition that the first husband would never come back, that was never stated explicitly. Something like that. We rely on that. Namely, upon our allowing her to go back to her first husband, it's all because there's no... we understand that people will not come to any erroneous conclusions. So you see from this, this is what Rav Kana's point is that even though things were not stated explicitly, we rely on what could be interpreted. And with that, we're able to, in other circumstances, with that situation, we can mevatel hakol. Rav Papa responded, though, shiny hacha, the case that you cited with the woman whose husband went abroad, etc., this is different to Osibal Vikoi. The husband himself came back and is standing Umeymar Amri, and he is declaring Me'olam Lo Girsha Baila. I should say, the husband is standing there, and people will say that the first husband never divorced her. She thought he was dead and married, entered Kiddushin with the second man, the Einan Kiddushin, and being that she was never divorced, the second husband's Kiddushin is not Kiddushin whatsoever. So, and that's the reason that the woman is allowed to go back to her first husband. Once again, since the husband is here standing in front of us, people are simply going to say that she was never divorced. The Isur that we mentioned before, which, let's say, could have been reason for us to oppose her return, was a case of a husband who divorced his wife and then she went and married a second man. We wouldn't allow her to go back to the first husband who had divorced her. That's called Machsir Grushaso Mishanises, or possibly Mishanis Arsa. But here, you don't have that at all. So Rav Papa is saying that this is not the reason we're allowing her to go back, is because you have a unique situation of the husband himself standing here and challenging her marriage to the second man, saying, "I never divorced her." So from here, you can't conclude in general that we will insert a masla type information to void a kill. So Rav Kana asks, well, if it's all because the husband is standing here, and as a result of that, people are going to say, well, he never divorced her. The first husband never divorced her. Niochi. If that's the case, let's continue in Rashi. Ihochi delo maski adatayu lomar girei shrishon v'nosa sheni v'nimtseis eishes ish yoytze below get. If you're saying that it's not going to occur to people to say that the first husband divorced her and the second husband married her and are allowing her to go back to the first husband without a get is the equivalent of releasing a married woman to the second man without a get. In other words, that's not what occurs to people. Well, then, Nisei Snami, in the case where she consummated the marriage with the second man, Amai Tanan Osam Sricho Get Misheni, the Loi Tachsir L'Rishon, why there do we say, oh, she needs a get from the second man, and she's not allowed to go back to the first man? Ho Osa Baila Vekoi, the Lav Nisuin Havu. Here, the husband is standing here, the original husband is standing here. And the marriage to the second man was a zero, wasn't a marriage at all. Hello, you know why? This is part of Rav Kahana's claim. You want to know why we don't let her go back to the first husband? Hello, mishum de osi lemeimar, because people will come to think Gir shazeh v'nosazeh can amir b'yavamis v'benisuin ain pesach mokom amasalom al tnai nisa. Because this is what people will think. Like I said originally, that the people will say the first person divorced her, the second person married her, and in the case of consummation of marriage, so there, you can't say the amasla of the nisuin, the consummation was conditional. People do not, ain ota mosa bilosa bilaznus, people will not consummate a marriage, people will not engage in intimacy, which represents the consummation of the marriage, with a condition, or based on a condition, based on a stipulation. Not so. But, in the case of kiddushin, the first stage, the offering of money on the part of that second husband, that people will say was done based on a condition, a stipulation, which was never met, and that's why she can go back to the first husband. So as we go on in the Gemara, we noticed that Rav Papa responded to that. And in the Gemara, we had seen the last inverted triangle was, oh, Niseis, the Avda Isura, Kansura Bonan, Niskacha, the law of the Isura, Lochas Rabbonan. That's what it said in the Gemara. We read in Rashi, where Rav Papa responds and says, there in the case of Niseis, Kansura Rabbonan, the high the Shayua, Bados Eid Echad, that which we initially allowed her to marry the second man with the testimony of a singular witness, Mishum Iguno Akilu Ba, because of our fear that the woman would otherwise remain an Aguna, remain totally in a lurch, unmarried. Fehi Gufa Teduk Bemilsa, they even Vishavim Vitinsiv, and part of that Kula, that Heter, for her to marry the second man with the testimony of the singular witness is coupled with our reliance upon her to have checked out the information regarding her husband's death very clearly through investigating with Ovrim Bishovim travelers, and only upon reaching a conclusion that he's certainly dead, she marries the second man. But where he comes back, so we see that she didn't check out so clearly, so carefully. Konsua, we impose a restriction upon her. We fine her. We restrict her. And tell her, listen, you can't, you've got to leave the second husband. And you cannot go back to the first husband. Kedamrin Hossam, as the Gemara says, there in Yevomis, from the stringency that we applied to her at the end, if he does come back, that we prohibit her from the second husband, prohibit her from going back to the first husband, we can afford to be lenient with her initially in allowing her to get married with the testimony of one witness. So as we saw in the give and take of the Gemara, we're basically left with Rav Papa defending his position, but we have a machlokas, Rav Zvi and Rav Papa, when we have a rumor and there's room to insert a Maslow type information, even though it wasn't stated explicitly, is that sufficient for voiding the rumor? That's a machlokas. We continue in the Gemara. A new point. Omar Rav Ashi, kol kola delo ischazik bebeidina lav kola hu. Any koil that wasn't checked out by the court is not a koil, is not something that we would regard. Rashi says, the law is chazi beidina shalo bodku beizin achrov shalote shmias koil avorov. The court would have to be involved to ascertain that it's not just public chatter. Let's continue in the Gemara. The Omer of Ashi kol kola debosin isuin lo chayshinon lo. Any koil that emerges after she married someone, in other words, a woman got married today, and we know who her husband is that she married today, and then a rumor goes out that today she had married someone else before this marriage. We don't regard such a rumor. We don't prohibit her to be with her husband, her new husband. We don't require a get from the man who was the subject of the rumor. If you're going to require a get from the man who's the subject of the rumor, you in effect would be prohibiting her to this new husband, because when he married her, it was before the get. It would be then tantamount to having married a married woman. And a man who would do that would be prohibited to her. So we're saying that a kill that emerges after an actual marriage is simply disregarded. Now we can infer from Ravashi, ha de baser erusin chayshin ole. A kill, however, that emerges after erusin, in other words, a woman accepted kiddushin, which we've said is the first stage of marriage from a particular man, and on that day, a rumor goes forth, you know, that earlier today she got married to someone else. We will regard that chayshin onle. What's the result of that? The result of that is that we're going to insist on the subject of the rumor divorcing her, and then allow her to marry the we'll call it the second man. Rav Chaviva Omar, we continue in the Gemara. Afilu debos erusinami lo chayshinon leit. Even a rumor that emerges after simple erusin, we do not regard it, and we do not require any divorce from the subject of the rumor, because if we would, so it'll cheapen her in the eyes of her actual husband. And the Gemara rules that a kill that comes out even after erusin, we do not regard it. Omer of Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Shochulei mi bei Rav l'Shmuel. Students of the yeshiva of Rav sent to Shmuel, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu. Teach us, rule for us. Before we go any further, we have some markings, and on the side under the Nosei / Mivneh heading, the house marking that you see one here, and second line from the bottom, you can see another one. Shnei mikrim sheyotzel akol b'mikre harishon yotzakol merishon uba acher v'kitsho kiddushin gemurin. There are two cases here of a rumor emerging concerning a woman. In the first case, the kol, the rumor, emerges from the first, and a second kill, and that is a rumor emerges concerning the first man, and then someone else comes along and offers her actual kiddushin. So according to the rumor, she's married to a first man. In reality, or in what actually happened, she went ahead and accepted marriage from a second man. A formal marriage with witnesses. What do we do? The Gemara. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu. They're asking of Shmuel, teach us, Yotza Alel Kol Mirishon. A rumor came that she was married to a first man, Mr. X. Ubo Acher, and Mr. Y comes along, V'kitsho Kiddushei Torah. Mahu. Second man comes along and offers her money in the presence of witnesses. This is not a rumor, this is something that we see. What is the din? Sholach lehu. So Shmuel responded, Teitze. She has to leave the second man. Vehemidu hadover al burio. And the matter needs to be investigated. Vehodiuni. And then inform me of what your investigation revealed. My he. We take a look at the Rashi on the fifth wide line under the Gemara. V'midu dvor aburio. Havu bot kimachar akol. Check out the rumor. Lahamid dvor al mitosim emes hu o sheker. The rumor that she was married to the first man, is it true or not? Fodiuni, Ikaral Shadavar, inform me of the matter. My he, Rashi goes on. The Gemara's question is, Loma hiskikom lami dover albiru? What was Shmuel's interest in their clarifying the matter? So now we go through. We have used a double underline indicating stages that stages of analysis. In lema the imagalia milsa the kedusha de kama lav kedusha maalia ninu mevaklin on kolav. If you're to say that through their investigation they would find out that the original marriage was not a marriage, and as a result we will declare the rumor void. V'ha nahar da asrei de Shmuel, who we learned before, Rav Yosef told us that the issue of being mevatel rumors is dependent on local practice. Nahar da is the name of a town where Shmuel was the Rav. V'lo mevat li kolab, and in Shmuel's town under his jurisdiction, and Shmuel here is the subject of the story, they would not mevatel a koil. They wouldn't declare a koil that originally had, I'll say, substance to it. They wouldn't declare it void. Ela. So what was the purpose of investigating the matter over here? Deim agalya milsa de kedushe kama kedushim al yaninu. If it turns out through their investigation that the first marriage was a full-fledged marriage, was a binding marriage, lo tzricha get misheni, then we wouldn't even require a divorce from the second man. In other words, the investigation would show that she was married to the first man, hence whatever the first second man did, even if he did it with witnesses and very in a very formal fashion, it's meaningless. Upliga de Rav Huna. This is at odds or against Rav Huna, or differs with Rav Huna. Diyom Rav Huna, Eishesi, Sheposhta Yod Vekivo Kiddushin Me'acher, a married woman who literally stretched out her hand and accepted marriage from a second man, Mekudeshes. She's considered married to the second man. And that would mean that she would need a get from that second man. Based on what? Midarav Amnuna. Diyomar of Amnuna. Ha'isha Shama Labailo Girashtani. A woman who says to her husband, you divorced me. Nemenes. She is believed to be divorced. Chazotha Ein Isha Me'isa Panel Bifnei Bailo. It is an assumed status of women that they would not be so bold and brazen to declare themselves divorced in front of their husbands, if not it actually being the case. So Rav Huna said that a married woman, a woman to whom we knew was married, accepting kiddushin from a second man is tantamount to what Rav Huna teaches. V'idach Shmuel, who ostensibly would accept Rav Hamnuna's principle, he says, ki itmar de Rav Hamnuna, that which a woman who declares herself to be divorced in front of her husband is believed, that's befunav when she declares thusly in front of him. She has enough, inner strength to stand up in his face and say, you divorced me, we believe her. However, shelo b'funav, miso miso. If it's not in front of him, as the case over here where a woman accepted marriage from a second husband, she would do so even if she still was married to the first husband. She would have the nerve. She may is pone, may is, as it would, brazenness. She would have that brazenness about her even though she's still married, to enter marriage with a second man. So up till now, we, in dealing with the case presented to Shmuel, and we said, if Migalia Milsa, if it turns out that the first marriage was a full-fledged marriage, so the ruling of the Gemara had been, she would not even need a get from the second man. Lo motzu dover al buriel mahu. What would be if that was not achieved? They didn't find out that she was formally married to the first man. So we go back to the original story. Rumor came forth that she was married to a particular man. She explicitly went out and married in a formal way a second man. And lo motzo dover al burio, as the Gemara says, mahu, what's the din now? Let's see, we have a couple of approaches. Omar of Huna, Megaresh Rishon, Venose Shani. The subject of the rumor would divorce her, and she can marry the second man. Avo Megaresh Shani, Venose Rishon Lo. But in a reverse fashion, for the second man to divorce her, and the first man was the subject of the rumor to go and marry her, that we will not allow. My time up. Why would we not allow that? Osi lemeimar, people could come to think that the first man, the subject of the rumor, had actually divorced her, and that's what enabled her to marry the second man. And now, if we allow her to go back to the first man, people will say, Machzir grushaso mino erison. Here you have a woman going back to the first husband after she reached erison with a second husband. And in saying so, we're making the assumption, the halachic assumption, that it's forbidden for a woman who even reached erison with a second man to go back to her first husband that had divorced her. But all of this, of course, is what people will say. Therefore, Rav Huna rules what he rules, that we want the first man to divorce her to enable her to stay married and consummate her marriage with the second man who had offered her formal kiddushin. Rav Shisha Breder of Idi Omar Af Megaresh Sheni Venose Rishon. He's more lenient and gives that as an option also. Meimar Amri, because what about what the people will think? People will think Aini Rabbonon Bekidushe, that the rabbis had investigated her marriage with the second man, the Kidushe Tois Havu. And they discovered that it was a marriage based on an error, meaning because she had already been married to the first man, a woman who was already married to the first man, the second marriage is a zero. So it's not a function of a woman going back to her first husband after she had been married to a second man, even if it was Arison. There wasn't even Arison. This is, of course, what people will think. So we're not taking any risk by saying, let the second man divorce her and go back to the man was the subject of the rumor. Yotzol leh kol mizeh umizeh mahu. A rumor went out that she was married today to Mr. One. And after that rumor, there came forth a rumor that she got married to Mr. Two. In contrast to the case before, Mr. Two had married her in a formal Kiddushei Torah fashion. Here, Mr. Tu is considered married to her only because of this rumor. Omar Rav Papa. Af Zu, this case as well, Megaresh Rishon, Venose Shani. We want the first man, the first rumor to divorce her, and let her then marry the second man, and not the other way around. And not have the second man divorce her, and she go and marry the first man, the subject of the first rumor. Rashi, second line from the bottom, says, Af bezu megaresh rishon, velo yegaresh sheni v'yiso rishon. We don't want the second man to divorce her and the first one marry. V'yaf agav, Dekala bi'alma havu nami hana kiddushi sheni. And even though the second marriage was only a rumor, chayshinon, we still concern ourselves, the lolemu people should not say, Girish rishon tchila v'kidshol sheni v'achshav chazeres l'rishon grusha mishin is arsa. And here you have a man taking back the wife that he had divorced after she had reached Erusin with a second man. Therefore, Rav Papa takes the restrictive approach and says the only option available for her is for the first man to divorce her and let her consummate her marriage with the second man. Ameimar Omar Muteres Lishneim. Lishneim means either or. She can marry the first man, where the second man would give her a divorce, and she can go back to the first. She can go to the first one, and certainly the other way around, which is something that even Rav Papa accepted. The Gemara at the top of the Tzadi Omen Aleph concludes V'ilchaso Muteres Lishneim. The halach is that she's Muteres to either one, even allowing her to receive a divorce from the second man and then go marry the first one. And this ruling of a Amemar, Rashi adds, suggests that even Rav Huna, who was restrictive in the case above, where the second man appeared visibly as having married her with Edim, and there Rav Huna was restrictive and would not allow second man to divorce her and go back to first, here, since the second man's involvement with her was only courtesy of a rumor, the second man could divorce her and she would be allowed to go back, go to the first one. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.